want to make mention of something. We don't talk about this very often because it's not a big deal to me, but it is kind of a big deal. Most of you know that, because we hit several milestones, today's the day to mention it. Most of you know that we record the sermons every week, all right? Well, this week, you know, we've made a step, okay? The recorder normally gets everything in the room, okay? I talk and it gets everything in the room, so a baby laughs, cries, Jim coughs, it's on there. We hear it, and it's decent, but it wasn't good. Well, this week, Cameron got us hooked up. We're going straight in, so the only thing going into that thing today is this microphone. So that's cool. We've made a step in the right direction. Right after this week, we downloaded, you ready? Some of you are not going to believe this. This week, we downloaded our 10,000th podcast. All right? Yeah, yeah. This week, it's not the 10,000th thing we put up, but we are at 10,030 downloads as of this morning, and that's in the last 2 years. So that's pretty exciting. That's pretty exciting. And another thing happened this last week. A lot of churches do and don't. It's not right or wrong, okay? But I never talk about our website. We don't put our website up on the podcast thing. There's a slide where you can donate online or text to give. I never talk about that or say, hey, thank you to the people who are worshiping with us in Taiwan, you know, send your money. I just don't say that stuff, you know? But a week ago, we got a surprise. Carolyn's doing the offering, and she says, read this note. And from Virginia, there was this couple that said, hey, please accept this gift. We have a church home, but we listen every week. We're thankful for you guys here. And I want you to know, I mean, it wasn't small, it wasn't big, it was just wonderful. That gift paid for 2 years of our website and our podcasting. So we've been doing this for 2 years. Right about that time, we get a check that pays for 2 years. So you and me and this family in Virginia just made it so that 10,000 people, 10,000 sermons could be heard across the world. Miss Joe, we all love Joe. Joe listens in Belize. Every time I pull up the stats, it's like United States, other, Belize. All right, it's right there in the little pie chart. And I'm like, Joe, how you doing? So that's fun. That's exciting. And hopefully today, all you out there in podcast land who endure me and listen, hear it clearly. A little more clearly this week. We'll see how it goes. But that's exciting. I'm thankful for it. Wanted to share it with you. We are finishing the Beatitudes today. We'll be moving into Palm Sunday next week, Easter the week after that. Then there will be kind of a surprise, a solo message, one that stands by itself. It's going to focus a little bit on families, all right? And then it's our couples retreat. So unless something changes, I'm planning on being gone with my wife and our couples on that last Sunday of the month. And then after that, we'll be starting a new series, all right? So you all know what's going on. Back to the Beatitudes. Jesus takes a chance to teach. That's what he's doing. He finally sits down and he begins to teach. And the first things that come out of his mouth in the greatest sermon ever given, all right, the first things that come out of his mouth are what we've gone through, all right? And we all know them, but as we went through them, we began to notice patterns. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Three emptying of the glass, if you will, ideas. Poor in heart, poor in spirit, mourning, all right? They are out of an attitude of emptiness and being able to be filled by God that you find yourself blessed, loved, adored. And then we get to hungering and thirsting for righteousness. When one is spiritually empty in a godly way, when one is, he becomes greater, I becomes less from the New Testament. When one is, if a kernel of wheat remains, falls to the ground and remains a single seed, it does nothing. But if it dies, it multiplies. Okay, so when we go down, when we're humbled in a Jesus spiritual way, we begin to hunger and thirst for this righteousness. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, okay? So we begin to get filled by the Spirit of God. And as we are filled, all right, we have blessed are the merciful, all right? Blessed are the peacemakers, all right? And so we find the things that a hungering and thirsting heart that is filled, we find the things that that person lives out. They live out peace. They live out joy, all right? They live out these next few things. And then last week, we got to, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And we talked about the times when we are made fun of, the times that we sacrifice a job, sacrifice something that we desire, all right? We find ourselves being put on the firing line. We find our heart taking fire, our family, our church taking fire for doing good in the name of the Lord, okay? But we also notice that number four and number eight both come back to the same place. Righteousness. Righteousness. Now, let me be clear. This is not simply the idea of right and wrong. I'm going to say it again. Righteousness is not simply the idea of right and wrong. You can have a math problem. 2 plus 2, right is 4, wrong is 3. That's right and wrong also. Righteousness is a spiritual thing. It is a filling thing. It is something that comes with who the Spirit of God, who Jesus, who God is. And we know that we are right in Him, okay? And the explanation comes actually in the Beatitudes when we go further, one more verse. And I want you to listen to what it says. Here's the final one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are allowed to see, be with, understand God Himself, okay? And when we are understanding Him, when we are seeing Him, when we are with Him, that is the essence of the kingdom of God, all right? That is the essence of what heaven is. It is not about pearly gates. It is not about crystal seas. It is not about high walls. It is not about sunshine and golden streets. It's not. It's about being with, being among, being back where we started, walking and talking with God. And we are then in righteousness. This means we experience all the things that righteousness brings. And people who do not understand righteousness or people who do not get the righteousness that comes from God tend to react and respond to us differently, all right? And they do that for a couple of reasons, and we talked about that. They do it because they're jealous. And they do it because they don't understand. Well, can't somebody be good and not know Jesus? They can. They can. But that's good, not righteous. They can't fully know God and fully know hope and fully know peace, but they can make right choices. It happens all the time. Can they make wrong choices? You bet. Can believers make wrong choices? Absolutely. But here's the thing when believers make choices. We do what about half of the people in the congregation are doing right now. We nod our heads. But if I said, let's stand up and talk about them, who's going to do it? Oh, no, it exists. We just here at the good old Baptist church don't want to talk about it. There aren't any people in here who have been adulterers. There aren't any people in here who had sex before they got married. There aren't any people in here who are gluttonous. And pastor, if you talk about that, we're just going to leave because nobody talks about that because that's just rude. We're going to talk about it today. So if you don't want to deal with it, there's the door. Okay? Love you. Coming down. Listen to the next line. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and, ready, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Here's the key. Because of me. Woo! Come on. Because of me. This is the differentiating factor between being persecuted for righteousness and being persecuted for a belief system. It is the difference between what the Old Testament had laid out for the people to follow and the new covenant that Jesus brought when he came. Therein lies the difference. If you don't know, the standard is me. That's Jesus's message. If you are uncertain, then the standard is what? Jesus. My life, my relationships, the things that I did, okay, the way that I lived out. Why? Because he was the representation of God on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus played his life out in a manner which showed us how to live. Well, Craig, he didn't answer all the questions. No, he did not. But he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. And what we like to do is we like to make a big list of rules to follow that Jesus said, these are the things we do. And if we do them, we get to be with and enjoy and see ourselves like God. Baloney. Baloney. In fact, I'm ready to say this morning that that is, you ready? Against who God is. Because if you can follow a list and earn it, you don't need him. If you can look at a list and be good enough, then there is no need for him to have traveled here, died here, loved here, left here to make a place for people who know how to follow rules. Find that in Genesis or in the Revelation or anywhere in between. Blessed are those who learn to follow the rules. It does say, hey, those who love me, what? Keep my commands. But it's not backwards. It's not those who keep my commands love me. And here's what we expect from the world. We expect the world to keep his commands when they don't even know him. We expect Hollywood to act like we are called to act. And we expect them to respond to us accordingly. And I'm going to step on a few toes here, but I'm going to prove it. Before I do, y'all know me, so you know that I don't generally take hot topics and play with them, but today we're going to need it. I want to introduce you to two words, okay? I want to introduce you to two words because this is important for our church family. There are people in the room, listen to me, I love you, there are people in the room who are on both sides of this. And then there are people in the room who have jumped into a giant pool of Christianity and they are swimming around in the circle in between, wondering which is right, which is wrong, and how do I find the middle ground? I'm going to give you an answer today. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to give you an answer, all right? I'm going to help you, all right? Because I'm going to get in the pool and swim with you. That's what Jesus did. He didn't say you're abandoned down here on earth. He said, I'll come and show you how. He could have announced the rules from heaven, couldn't he? Couldn't he have done that? Couldn't God have just said, today I give you the Beatitude? No, he sent Jesus to swim with us. That's what we're going to do later, okay? But for right now, let me introduce you to two words, two buzzwords, two words that people don't like. Most people don't like them because they are them. I'm sorry. Okay. Jim, help me out. Word number one, legalism. Woo! Legalism. Excessive adherence to laws or formulas. I didn't get this from some, you know, theology journal. That's from Google Dictionary. Google Dictionary. Right, so nobody can get mad about that. I Googled, this is the one, Merriam-Webster, whatever came up first, this is it. Excessive adherence to law or formula. Or dependence, and herein lies the problem. Dependence on moral law rather than on personal faith. Hear me. If you depend on your ability to follow the law, who is your God? If your righteousness throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, passed down through your family, if it depends on a checklist that you can do, who's your God? Got to be careful. Now, I'm going to read you something because, again, y'all have seen me do this before. If I can't say it better or more clearly, I'm just going to read it, all right? So here it is. Biblically speaking, legalism is one of two things. But this is, everybody, put your hearing aids in, turn them up, listen. First, legalism is using morality or a command of God as a means of expressing independence, self-deficiency, or self-determination. A moral behavior that does not come from faith. This is the kind of legalism the Pharisees were most often caught up in. Their obedience to God's commands didn't flow from, remember I said there was an order, didn't flow from a love and worship of God, but rather as a means to exalt themselves over others and celebrate their own discipline and strength. Again, it makes the God self. The problem is not the command. It's really not. I will take on some of them, but they're not the issue, and I'll tell you that because that's the other side of this. The problem is that man is legalistic. Commands aren't legalistic unless, and that brings me to the second definition, those commands are extra-biblical. Now, let me stop and help y'all with some vocabulary, okay? Extra-biblical doesn't mean like extra sugar or extra sweet tea. It's not more sweet or more biblical. It's like extraterrestrial, ET, out of this world, not of this place. Extra-biblical means not of the Scripture. This is the kind of legalism that I see most. And here's how it plays out. Commands aren't, unless the second definition, those commands are extra-biblical, and a church makes adherence to those commands the means by which someone is included, loved, helped, believed upon, made righteous in their fellowship. This happens when you erect a certain requirement of conduct that goes beyond the teaching of the Scripture. And I'm going to add one thing in there, the teaching of the Scripture as a whole. I believe in following the rules of the Scripture, and I believe there are churches who do some of these things that also have a lot of things right. God bless them. I'm going to call it what it is. But here's the thing. When you take something and it's not as a whole, which we're going to do in a little while, then it becomes extra-biblical. Okay? I can take one verse and make a lot of things happen in the Scripture if I cut out the beginning or I cut out the end or I cut out the New Testament response to it. All right? So we got to be real careful with that. This isn't as common anymore, but I've read it and heard it. Yes, it is. It's just as common. Legalism, focused in on a set of rules and making those rules greater than the grace, love, mercy of God. License. Next slide. This is making the grace, love, and mercy of God an excuse to do whatever you want. That's the flip side. Here's the thing. This also takes away from who God is. Here's how. If you believe that God is loving and honorable and has plans for you to prosper you and harm you, and God makes rules for you to follow, and you decide that it's not really about today. I can follow those rules only partway because it's not as much for today. God doesn't actually know my best. You don't get to do that. You have to pick. Either God is who you says he is or he isn't. And you don't trust him on both sides of this. In legalism, you don't trust him to guide us when we don't know the answer, so you need more rules to follow. In license, you don't trust him to know exactly what you need, no matter what time it is, no matter what century it is, no matter where you live. It's all a matter of trust in who God is, and that's what we've gotten away from. Both of these lead back to trust in man, your ability to say when, and God says you don't have it, or your ability to say who gets in, and God says that's not your right either. Here's license. Grant a license to someone or something to permit the use of something or allow an activity to take place. Isn't that what everybody's really looking for once they finally get in a church? They want a church to love them and honor them and cherish them, but then they want to sit and ask the questions. Can I? Can I? Am I allowed to? How far? Can I touch this? Can I not touch that? Can I do this with her? Can I not do that with her? Isn't that what we want? Here's the problem. Bible doesn't tell us. What, Craig? You cannot say that the Bible doesn't. No, the Bible tells us some. The Bible tells us some. I'll give you the greatest example out there. Please don't be offended, everybody in the room. I'm not coming down on you. Y'all know how I feel. But somebody find in the Bible where it says, don't smoke. And find that in the Scriptures. As my daughter races out of the room. Guess she's going to have a cigarette. I don't know. So here it is. It's not in the Scriptures. For you people on the podcast, that's not true, by the way. I don't think. But do you see what I'm saying? There are things that aren't there. So we've either got to piece together the scripture, or here's what happens for most of us. We piece together the scripture that we've been taught down through the years without going and looking for ourselves. And then we run into someone who says, but this, and we don't know how to deal with that, so we just land on what we want, and you cannot do that. That's not what Jesus would do. You know what Jesus would do? He would sit at a well and wait for you if he thought you were a prostitute. Right? He wouldn't say, don't sleep around, stop it. He wouldn't say, you're not welcome here. He would go to a well and sit and wait and spend time so that when that woman finds out who he is, she is changed not by a rule, but by a relationship. And that in turn changes a city. Come on, people. We are our own worst enemies, and I'm going to show you how. If this bugs you, I'm sorry. I got a phone call recently from an elder at another church, a good old Baptist church, yes, that has elders and has just gone to that model. Yes, happens to be biblical, okay? I'm not against the other one. I'm just saying it's biblical. He calls me up and he says, Craig, we're dealing with something. We're dealing with something here. And I could tell by the tone of his voice where he stood. I could. He said, we have a Sunday school teacher of teens who has scheduled a movie. They're going to go see a movie together. And they're going to go see Beauty and the Beast. And as you know, last week, it came out, and I quote, that there is an exclusively gay moment in the film. I'm just calling to see what you think. Bum, 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 bum. All right. Here's what happened. And let me preface this, because I don't do sides. I want to do Jesus. This blew up when a cinema in the South banned the movie for the director saying, movie hadn't released yet, for the movie saying there was an exclusively gay moment in it. Facebook, Instagram, CNN, MSNBC blew up. It blew up with, ready, Christians who railed against Disney, actors and actresses, movies in general, and paraded this family's choice. There were LGBT, liberals, other Christians, and people who said, what are you doing? Why would you do something like this? And they went to other extremes, talking about the fight scenes or talking about the fact that she falls in love with a moose. Why aren't we talking about that? All right? Well, that's the other extreme, and that's not a good argument. Thing number one, I'm going to walk you through this. All right? You don't have to buy it, but I'm going to walk you through it. Thing number one, that man and his wife who own the cinema, it is their right to show and not show whatever movies they want. Period. Period. Whatever movies they want. When it comes to what we choose to do, or how we choose to respond, our first thought shouldn't be gay. It should not. Our first thought shouldn't be murder. It should not. Our first thought shouldn't be ban it. I'm going to tell you why. How many of you watch Tom and Jerry? How many of you ban that from your children? Tom and Jerry. There are multiple Tom and Jerry episodes where either Tom or Jerry end up in a bucket. And they come out of the bucket drunk as a skunk. Drunk as a skunk. Bubbles coming out. Who's banning that? Because if you're going to ban it, let's ban it for something that's actually a sin in the scriptures. I don't find gay moment in the scriptures. I do find homosexuality. We'll talk about that. But where do we find siding with theaters or not siding with theaters? Seeing a film or not seeing a film? How many of you watch Grey's Anatomy? That there's more exclusively gay in there than you can fathom. It's non-exclusively gay. All right? You ready for me to embarrass some people in here? Don't raise your hand if you saw 50 Shades. Do you know what we did? Do you know what we did? When the minute that we chose to stamp Jesus' name on that ban, we made ourselves and every other Christian look bad. And we made Disney a fortune. That movie opened at $180 million. And this argument a week before it came out was a huge part of it. Free advertising. Conflict breeds huge turnouts. Did you just experience the election? Here's what I said to the guy on the phone. Here's what I said. I said, don't spend your capital here. Do you hear what I said? Don't spend your capital here. As a young elder, this is not where you want to come down. And then I said this, I'm the pastor at Nicholasville Baptist Church. You are at Consensus Baptist. I just made that up, okay? The elders there must decide how you're going to play this and support one another in that. All right? I then explained to him all of the reasons he could ban or could not ban the movie. They went back to the teacher and said, here's all the reasons you could or could not do this. We love you, and we leave it in your hands. We would love for you to make the parents aware of what we've made you aware of. What an incredible learning experience. But now I am lumped in for every gay person out there in the universe who is absolutely welcome in this church. I'm out there as a hater. Because somebody else said Christians are taking a stand against this film. Find Jesus in that. No. Don't find scripture in that. Listen to me. Find Jesus in that. The one that called the drinking tax collector out of the tree. The one that saved the woman who was caught in adultery out in front of the Walmart parking lot. The one that sat while his friends went to McDonald's and waited on the prostitute in Samaria. Tell that to my Jesus. Now let me inform you of something else. There's no gay moment in the movie. It's not even there. It's not there. Is there a guy who acts a little like a fairy? Uh-huh. Does he struggle? Uh-huh. Are there 500 animated and not animated movies where you've got to... Do any of you watch Tom and Jerry? Have you ever seen the little white French mouse? That's a little bit strange. Let's ban that. Do you hear me? Listen to me. We're doing more harm than we are good by grabbing something and parading it as our own for everyone out there when all that Jesus says is, listen to me, if he be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. We're parading rules, we're parading what we hate, we're parading what we detest, we're parading what we ban, and it is getting way more airtime than the name of Jesus. We failed. Failed. Now, let me flip the script a little bit. Just because we're allowed to watch Beauty and the Beast, or not, whatever. If your mother says you can't, you can't. That's a whole different scripture. You hear me? If your dad says you can't, you can't. If somebody lets somebody watch SpongeBob and somebody else doesn't, because this family says CRAP and this family doesn't, so be it. We've had this conversation already. I am a pastor. I will do my best not to swear, okay? But I can't go through the list every time one of you signs a covenant and go, do you like crap or not? Can I say suck or not? I got to get my list down. I can't do it. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say fat or poot. There are people in the room that are going, ah! I know that's in the scripture. Thou shalt not say poot. Come on. Come on. You're laughing because this is true. But just because you can watch Tom and Jerry doesn't mean you should watch Beauty and the Beast. Because you can watch Beauty and the Beast, you ready? Doesn't mean you should watch 50 Shades of Grey. Just because you can watch 50 Shades of Grey, you ready? Doesn't mean you should watch porn. Well, I'm married, and it has no effect on me. Okay. I need the church family to listen. Just because you can have sex doesn't mean you should. There are godly parameters that outline the wonders of it, and we're going to get more into that in about 5 weeks, and the hindrances of it, including homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, all right? All of these things. There are boundaries. But if you believe in God and you believe He's got what's best for you, then within His rules, you believe that He is creating thy kingdom come within you. And those of you who have fallen deeply in love with a man or a woman, those of you who have been combined by the Lord of the universe, and those of you who have had the, all right? You know. The rest of you who are looking at me, fix it. Because it can be. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. You ready? Just because you can drink. Oh, I'm going to upset a few people now. Bible doesn't say thou shalt not drink. Bible says thou shalt not be given unto drunkenness. Well, Craig, if I'm allowed to drink, I should. That's not what it says either. One's legalism, the other's license. Okay? Be very careful. A person who, some of us are given to some things. Some of us are given to greed. Would you agree with that? Some of us are given to pride. Would you agree with that? Some of us are given to bad language because of the way we grew up. We're given to all those things. Some of us are recovering alcoholics, okay? If you are a recovering alcoholic, there is never a good time for you to have a beverage because you can. It's not smart. It's just not. I am not. I don't know if Les, Brittany is not. That it's not good. There are, but see, you don't know that unless you know Jesus. Okay. Some of you are like, well, Craig, it's not healthy. It causes deaths. It causes accidents. You don't want to have that argument. You do not want to do it. Do you know what the single greatest cause of death in the United States? Listen, that this past 2 years broke 50%, more than half of the deaths in America. Do you know what the cause is? No. Obesity. This does not mean people do not have glandular issues. Don't be mad at me. This does not mean that people can't, don't be mad, but I want you to listen, I want you to listen close. Gluttony is the unnamed sin. And somebody says, well, I can have a drink, should I? I don't know. Just because you can have ice cream, does it mean you should? Is anybody preaching that from a pulpit? I can have ice cream, I can have Reese's, I can have 17 trips to the buffet. That's all good because it's not hurting anybody because I'm not getting drunk. No, you're getting fat. And you ready? It's a sin. And slowly and surely it is taking over America so that today, more than 50% of the deaths in the world, in our country, are related to obesity, including heart, lung, COPD, diabetes. Add them together, and there's not any other in the top 10 that come anywhere close to one. Not even close. alcohol 5 times less than the largest one of those. What are you fighting for? Are you fighting for a belief you held at one time? Or are you fighting for something that Jesus would say, that is of me? That's all I'm asking this morning. Blessed are you who are persecuted, listen, because of me. Well, Craig, we can't let our children grow up and just think that they're allowed to eat, they're allowed to drink, they're allowed to have sex. We can't do that. We need to stop them all. Think about that. Can you look Jesus in the eyes and say, I do not trust you? Can you do it? I do not trust you to lead my child that you gave to me, that you brought into this world. You know what we want to do to stop abortion? We want to put giant signs up on the side of the road with babies on them and a big X through them and say, thanks, mommy, you killed me. Yeah, good one. Thanks for that. Good Jesus moment there. Well, Craig, aren't you against abortion? Yes, but I'm not against abortion because somebody had an abortion. I'm not against abortion because of teen pregnancy. I'm against abortion because my Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the... And I'm for life. And when I fall in love with Jesus, and I teach teenagers to fall in love with Jesus, and I teach my children to fall in love with Jesus, they may or they may not choose him, but they will not be in love with a list of rules. They will not be in love with legalism. They will not be crying out against everything my Jesus cried out for in trying to love people into the kingdom, sacrifice people into the kingdom, get in the pool and swim with them in the kingdom. I can't tell you if drinking is for you or not for you, if eating too much is for you or not for you, if smoking is for you or not for you. Here's what I can do. I can be in your small group, and I can walk you through it today, tomorrow, and a month from now as a part of your family. And I can do my best for you and me to study the Word of God from cover to cover so that we figure it out together. This is why man can't make it alone. How do I tell the difference between legalism and license? Fall madly in love with Jesus. Surround yourself with people who fall madly in love with Jesus too. Well, Craig, am I not supposed to go eat lunch today? That's not what I'm saying. Craig, am I a sinner if I go to the Ikebana buffet today? That's not what I'm saying. Not even a little bit. That would be like me saying you're a sinner if you go to Applebee's because they have a bar. Oh, yeah. Jeremiah's like, huh? Wait! That's not what I'm saying. But I'm also saying, just because you can have a drink with friends, and just because you do get a little over the edge, you don't get to say, well, this is just one time. I was just a little bit past my limit. I was just a drink past my limit. It was only with people at my house. Okay. So when Jesus says, don't be given to drunkenness, he means when you think it's okay? Oh, did I just step on some people's toes again? So it's a little bit okay if I just do a little bit of adultery. If my wife says it's okay, I can commit adultery, and that makes it okay. It's okay if I only steal $15 as long as it's not $150. It's okay if I murder one kid as long as it's not 7 kids. Here's what you have to decide. Who's deciding what's okay? Because God makes it clear enough the more time you spend with him. True statement. I've always been and I will continue to be about preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what I will be about. I will continue to walk with this church family through the good and the bad, through the ups and the downs, through the tough marriage times and the tough children times and the tough political times and the tough voting times and the tough scripture times and the tough financial times. We're going to walk them together, and at each time, we're going to say, what's going on here? What is the very best thing? What would Jesus that we know and love do? How is his Holy Spirit speaking to us? How can I surround myself with more godly people who can come beside me and help me decide how Les can handle this when Les doesn't know how to handle it by himself? That's getting in the pool with you. Now, there was a lot there. If I skipped over something or jumped away from something, I'm sorry. If I listen back to this and I go, no, that wasn't right, I will come back and tell you. Legalism is a sin. It's what Jesus railed against. License is also a sin. It's why Jesus said, those who love me obey my commands. Okay? Listen. But going up to someone and saying, well, that's why we like everything in, what's the word? Everything in moderation is okay. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Fatness in moderation. Drunkenness in moderation. Divorce in moderation. Adultery in moderation. Gayness in moderation. Stop it. Don't add to or take from the Scriptures. Let's hold hands, jump into the Scriptures together. If I stepped on your toes, I would apologize, but I'm not sorry. If you take it up with Jesus and you want to call me after that, you want to re-listen to this, I'm going to, and we can talk through it. You know what's going to happen? Hopefully we're not going to be mad. Hopefully we're going to be closer. And hopefully we're going to know what to do the next time we're in a pulpit or the next time we're in a situation. Okay? It's easy as that. Did I tell you not to go see any certain movies? No, I did not. Did I tell you to drink? No, I did not. Did I tell you not to eat lunch today? No, I did not. Yeah. I honestly, I'm working on one. I have gotten a little Pastor Pudge over the last couple years. And my wife and I, thank the Lord, she's sweet and yummy and I love her and she's putting up with me. So I'm trying to depudgify. All right, that's a word, depudgify. And so why? Because I don't want to be given to that to any point that someone could point fingers at me and say, for the long haul, this is what you did. I'm going to mess up. But if I mess up and God calls me out on it, I'm going to come home. That's what the Bible calls us to do. All right? Cam's going to come. We're going to sing. And I think it's perfectly wonderful that we're going to sing. I think it's beautiful name again. What a wonderful name. Yeah. Listen, we're going to go back to the focus of all of this. Not right, not wrong, but the name of Jesus. And I'm going to finish with this. Blessed are you when people insult you or persecute you falsely and all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward. From the same way they persecute you, they persecuted the prophets before you. Listen, because of me. Somebody persecutes you for doing something legalist and you go, well, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. You're not righteous. You ain't right. And don't use Jesus as an excuse for, it's all right, Jesus' grace will cover me. It was all right, I just got drunk last night or last weekend or only on the way. Stop that. Well, I'm just a little overweight. I'm just a little, and listen to me. Stop it. Well, I only eat too much when I'm depressed. Again, with the rules you're making up and not him. It's okay when I'm depressed and it's okay when I'm out of a relationship. Think about that as applied to every other rule. Okay? Stop it. The Bible as a whole. Let's sing together. And then I got a couple of announcements and we'll be dismissed.